So I joined the Green Party as of I guess it was probably midnight-ish last night.
Wow!
I am now a paid member of the Green Party.
Wow!
Yeah. Wow!
So we also have a Green Party.
Okay.
I wonder what the similarities and differences are.
Yes. Well. So for, you know, many years, as you would expect, the Green Party here in the UK, the Green Party of England and Wales, has been very much on, you know, environmental issues. And so it was always a kind of, let's be real, it was a throwaway vote. Like, you know, I mean, at a local level, sure, maybe you might be happy getting a Green MP, but like they were kind of seen as a single issue party.
Yeah.
You voted for them if you were particularly, I guess, disenfranchised maybe by Labour, which is our left leaning party, and more that is the case. And people have been, you know, we last year you and I spoke the day after the election here, the day the votes were officially counted, and Sir Keir Starmer, took the keys to number 10. Since then, it's been a fucking mess. And for a while, I was like, "Listen, lads, let's hold the discourse for a bit." They've got a lot to clean up. There's a lot going on, you know, like they've got to right the ship and stuff. And after a while, you're like, "Oh no!"
Oh, they're not actually doing good.
He hasn't got. As a commentator today who I trust said, he's just not very good at politics, which is our Prime Minister, which is our Head of State, who is soon going to be meeting with your Head of State over here.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You said it was Labour that's in charge right now, right?
Yes. So Labour is in charge.
And they're showing how ineffectual they are.
Maybe not just them as a party, but like, just him. Actively bad at this point, because the whole situation with Gaza and Israel and Palestine, under his eye. Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale, yeah.
Yeah, under his stewardship, and he was a former. I think he was the head of the Crown Prosecution Service. So, yeah. But essentially, it is now illegal. That's not the case. People are being arrested for peaceful protest for seeming to hint towards being in support of what is called a proscribed organization. I know there's a lot to walk through there. There's a lot to unpick. So a proscribed organization is proscribed meaning it's on a list of we think you're a terrorist organization. So there's an organization here, and listen, I'm going to do my best to summarize this, and I'm going to get details wrong, but I'm going to do my best.
Sure.
There's an organization here called Palestine Action. I want to double check. I'm pretty sure it's Palestine Action, not Action for Palestine. They have been deemed a terrorist organization and have been for a while because
they're in support of Palestine.
It's because they did some daubings on a military helicopter or a plane. So they broke in, trespassed, and painted a plane. They painted a graffiti in a plane.
Terrorism.
And that is why they are now that is the reason given for why they have been a proscribed terrorist organization. And so under UK law, being in support of a proscribed terrorist organization, as in protesting in their favor, rabble-rousing for them, whatever, is not allowed. Problem is, I mean, they're not a terrorist organization.
Of course.
That's one thing. But it's got to the point where, and there was a video of a woman that got a woman in her, I want to say 60s, over the weekend, who was arrested for a half-completed sign that said something along the lines of, I oppose genocide, I support. She hadn't finished writing the sign and then was arrested. And this is, I've seen the video.
Oh my God.
Hadn't finished writing the sign. And she said, like, I'm not hiding it, I'm supportive. I'm, you know, but it's not on the sign. What I, you know, and everybody in the crowd, right. What are you arresting her for? And that's the mm-hmm. problem with the police, is that, there's police in my family, but those accepted, I don't think the police are the brightest.
Those members,
they're just sort of, okay, you know, but I've been given, that's bad. So you did a bad, you have to go in the van now. I don't want to think. So,
I mean, they're not supposed to.
No. Well, it is.
That's more military.
Well, this is the difficult thing. So policing in the UK and the US is very different. We have a thing called police by consent. And the police are supposed to be, you know, there's a great video on this, actually, I watched a week or so ago, which is a little bit Pollyanna-ish in favor of the UK. Like, it's a little bit rose-tinted, but it had the right idea. Like, you look at the difference between the US and the UK police, it's like, the US are like, get the fuck away, I'ma tase you if you look at me wrong. The police over here, you know, they wear high visibility clothing, like they are meant to be someone you can go to. The police in America are people you run from. The police over here are meant to be people you can go to. And increasingly that's not the case. And so we have this really difficult thing. So we've got the Prime Minister who was the former head of the CPS, who should know about the rule of law and the power of law. We now have laws that are being enforced that the public aren't behind. And so there's this thing that I can't remember the name of it, but there's an ability for a jury. A jury has the right to disregard the instructions of a judge. So if a jury wants to overturn even the recommendation of a judge, the judge says, I strongly recommend you find this defendant guilty, the jury is, they have the right to overturn that. It's only a recommendation. And so when we have a society where the laws that we have aren't respected because the laws are bullshit, then we have ourselves a problem. I was listening today to a thing about why the real reason Palestine Action is a prescribed organization. Mm-hmm. And my reading of it is essentially to do with the fact that they were too effective in the fact that they were protesting the selling of UK arms to Israel. And that can't be allowed because it's big business. It's too important. And that's essentially why they have been prescribed, because they are too effective at their job.
They stopped
and capitalism
money.
Needs to capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only all we're living under is capitalism. Yeah.
So last night I saw a video by Zach Polansky, who is the now head of the Green Party of England and Wales, and he appealed to my, he piqued my interest straight away, where he basically just said, this country is shit, and he said, this country is shit, our politicians are shit, the rivers are filled with shit, and he's saying the shit word like a grown-up. And so straight away, because like, this is the thing about populist politics, and his whole thing is that he's running as a populist leader. He wants to bring that level, because we have Nigel Farage as the popular, who is basically probably going to be our next prime minister, and he is what Trump would like to be, with a tighter net around him, with fewer obstacles probably. So he wants to do the things that Trump wants to do. And he's learned a lot from Trump, and he's sucked his dick. Anyway, that's course. Yeah. But Yeah, so he's probably going to be the next prime minister. So we need someone equally populist, my understanding of that term anyway, to stand up and start to be the person who says things that appeal to people, that appeal to what people actually believe. And he said all the things that I believe to be true. And they are now the party of the left. They seem to be, because Jeremy Corbyn, who was once the leader of the Labour Party, and a darling of the left, he had no fucking clue what's going on. He got ousted from the Labour Party because of coded anti-Semitism stuff, which was a whole thing. But essentially, he got
like, what's the point? What's even the point of anti-Semitism anymore? Like, hasn't it run its course? I guess not, but everybody throughout time has loved to hate the Jews.
There's still Islamophobia. Oh God, I've got to tread so carefully. I'm not an anti-Semite. just hand up. But when it's interesting when you look at, I don't know, man. I'm not even going to go down there, because, like, I have no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But
I want to know why you needed to clarify.
No. It's like walking into a nest of nettles. It's just like, they're everywhere. What is interesting, though, is when it gets down to the Israel and Palestine stuff, how much people will talk about anti-Semitism when you criticize Israel. And it's like, yeah, but hang on a minute.
That's a state, not a people.
It's not that. It's they're committing genocide. So if you think committing genocide is Jewish? That's what a fucked up thought. Because if you're conflating the two by saying if you're criticizing Israel, then you're an anti-Semite. What the fuck are you saying about Jews then, that you conflate those two things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, they did it to themselves.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Back in the day, they did it to themselves.
That's why it really hurts.
Radiohead
reference. So anyway, I joined the Green Pie. Hi, Brendan.
Good. Good. About time. Green's a good color on you.
Yeah, it is actually. Good earthy tones. Yeah, good for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've got my friend Kat, who's done leafleting for them before. I'm keen to have a chat with her, and I might start going to, if they've got local meetings and stuff.
Nice.
I ain't got time. But at the same time,
I know.
I also ain't got. I'm not going to sit here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know that feeling.
I was driving with my parents on Sunday, and we were talking about state of the world and whatever. Farage is probably going to be the next PM. And my knee-jerk reaction was like, if that happens, I'm leaving. And then I stopped myself and I went, no. If that happens, I'm fucking staying. I'm fucking staying put. And I'm helping. And I'd rather start helping now than, like, what did it take? It took that guy to get into office for you to get off your ass and do something. Instead, you sit here and you wax pontificate, and you spread your half-remembered fact saw on TikTok or read on Blue Sky and pass off as fact. Well, actually, why don't you start using some shoe leather and go and do some stuff. That's where my head's at.
So yeah, in this wonderful country,
in this economy,
2016, people were so in their head, had their head in the sand around racism, around the general vibe of the country, of the populace of America, and we're obviously very surprised. The liberals were very surprised about Trump's win, and then for the next 4 years,
only the entire mainland actually, of the U.S.
Yeah, they actually stepped up for the next 4 years and fucking protested and fucking informed and mm-hmm. And worked really hard, and then they beat him. They got him. He lost re-election. You know, and obviously this is recapping, but like, people did actually, they got off their ass and they worked at it, and then they've like Democrats always do, they're like, oh yeah, we did it, we're done, we fixed it, we fixed racism, we fixed all the different problems with our country, and now the right old guy is in. And then, yeah, and then they just sat on their ass again. And of course, we went right back to our normal because, right, like, how is that a surprise? And plus, he was up against another woman. Like, mm-hmm. it's a racist and sexist country. So it was like, of course. But, yeah, so I applaud you making the effort before the worst case scenario. And, a good look to you, sir.
I feel, thank you. Godspeed. I feel the warm hand of history on my shoulder. Just like not as if like I have any place in history, but more in the place of like I want to be able to like look my past self in the eye and say, at least you didn't just sit there and watch TikTok and get angry. Is really it, you know? Like whether you went to some meetings, you spoke to some people, and you got educated, and you tried to help other people understand, like that would be enough. To get informed and to start then spreading the word and to be confident about stuff. You know, that excites me in the like traditional sense of like, yeah, get up and at them.
I've pretty consistently felt. And this, you know, I didn't have this framing at the time, in 2020 when I started going to protests and stuff. But my nineness wants to, not disturb, keep the peace, go with the flow, sloth, like low energy, not get involved. And so, you know, in 2020, when things were happening, I was looking at it. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I don't feel like I have any impact. I can't make any political changes or whatever. So
I loved your instinct.
You know, that sucks. I support,
I loved your instinct, what you did.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And, well, that was a prompt. I mean, yeah, obviously I did it, but it was prompted by a conversation with Margaret. She got really upset at one of the many, you know, thing after thing after thing. I think another black person was killed by a cop, and it was just like, she was just upset at the whole thing, but she turned to me and she was like, well, what are you gonna do? And I think there were some more expletives in there. I can't remember, it's been a while, but I was like, oh, it's on me to do something. Like, we all kind of need to participate in this.
Now,
that's how I felt at that time.
Yeah. I want to hit pause because we should explain to the listener what I was talking about when I said thank you, Roscoe, for chipping in. But Margaret, I love you. But that's an interesting thing. Like, why was that on you?
Because it's on all. Because it's our country. It's our. You know, they're representing me.
So, because and it may just have been your reading of the question, but I'm like, that's a great question. But also, okay, back at you. Like, what are you gonna do? So, yeah. What did Margaret have in? You know, what was Margaret?
What did she do?
Yeah,
yeah. She would do. Political campaigning for she would make calls and make postcards and stuff. And
I knew there would be something like that's why I didn't think it would be a particular challenge. You don't ask a question like that without like a sense of what you're going to do yourself. So
and I don't know that she particularly had a strong idea. Like, she was also like, I can't put myself exactly back in that time frame. But like right now, she has she does a monthly meeting of an organization, is a strong word, that she helped co-found with her friend Amy, called World Builders, where they get together with a bunch of friends and talk about the best ways to like kind of rebuild back after all this damage that's being done by our political situation. And I haven't been able to attend a meeting yet because it's usually been on Thursdays and it's conflicted with my men's group, but they've now switched to Tuesdays. And so I'm going today. I've been invited this whole time. I finally get to go, which is exciting. and that's a little bit more recent. At the time, she was doing some other, like, getting together with friends. She was doing a lot of active, like, talking with people and trying to find reasonability or
something. Sure.
She had
just reason.
She had one... She did have... It was pretty interesting to be involved in this little drama. She has two friends who live close but in a different large city nearby, and one has a retired cop as a father. That's a funny way to put it. And another friend in that trio, and that Margaret and the non-cop father having friend were very much on the ACAB train. And with all the stuff going on, and you know, the cop daughter was not feeling that message. You know, she was very much, you know, very much loved her father and feels like her father is a very good person. And so there was like this big turmoil in between. And then, I don't know, it's been funny to watch that trio of friends over time, because the other friend kind of went a little bit crazy. And now Margaret's really good friends with the cop father friend. And like dynamics just change. Anyways, that's not important. I don't know. But yeah, so I got super into it. I got super active, and I was going to the protests all the time and
watering them, feeding them, looking after
them. Wonderfully apple picked snacks. And
still, it's not where they came from, it's where they went.
Robin Hooding a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was my chance to like that. That's always been the fantasy in my mind. But this time I was actually able to actually Robin Hood a bit, and so that felt good. And it was good to see. It was great to see the people's passion and support that as much as I could. Also at the time I was heavily in a fibro mode, and I couldn't actually walk the protests, the marches that were going on. I kind of had to be in my car, so it kind of all worked out. But it felt at the time like it was a duty of mine. It was necessary for Brendan to take action. And now I kind of still feel that. But also, I kind of feel like not that I fulfilled my quota, but I worked really hard, and I do feel like I made a difference, and I can't do that forever. It is super draining, and I'm in a season of stepping back and away from that, and I will surely venture into another season of coming forward and being more politically active. And right now other people can carry that torch in this relay race, because it's not a sprint. We got to keep doing this kind of forever, and it's easy to burn out on this shit. So it's so overwhelming. It's so just like baffling. I don't know. I get so confused by it. I know everybody has a different perspective, different understanding, different level of education, and
And a level of families, entrenchment.
Families. Entrenchment, for sure. Yeah. I was just in my men's group, one of the guys there is a teacher in like early middle school type age. So it's like 7 to 12 year olds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the I can't remember any of the quotes that he's given, but he says some of the things that the kids say, and it's like, you obviously got that from your parents. And like he taught in Korea for a while,
right.
And there is this anti-Japan
rhetoric,
like racism,
mm.
Yeah, that is super strong. It's even in the kids, and they'll like be flipping through a book where, and it'll show a photo of Japan, and they're like, "No Japan," and they hit it with their finger. They're like, "No,"
okay.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
like they're rubbing bad. A cat's face in the shit or something,
yeah.
Like that. And there's like, no,
look at what you did, Japan.
No, yeah, because of a war like that. Obviously, the kid was never involved in, and it just gets passed down. And it's fascinating. I was gonna say it's sad, but it's also not to me anymore. It's not. Mm. It's like sad, sure, but like. It's also just human. We share with our kids how we feel and prepare them for the world as best as we can, or whatever our capability is, or everything. And I don't know.
So there was a sitcom. Well, it wasn't a sitcom at all. It was a kind of a drama, but it was funny because of the characters and the way they were played. And it was called Alfie Design Pet. And I'll have to explain some of that. So Alfie Design
Goodbye something.
German goodbye. But the pet is a Geordie affectation. Geordie being a name for people from the northeast of England. And
okay.
So they might say, you know, goodbye pet. Except in a proper accent. And so Alfie Design Pet was this... story of a bunch of fellas, mostly I think from the northeast, from Newcastle, going over to work in Germany, which is I think a fairly common thing. You get a load of British labourers would go over there and they'd live and work in Germany, and this is sort of 80s, late 80s, and then into the early 90s, and it was revived a little as well. And it was I have a great fondness for it. I mean, almost certainly none of it will hold up now. because, I mean, it's, you know, it's a bunch of blokes and doing blokey things and blokey.
Yeah. No blokes.
Bad blokes. But there's one guy, I think the character might be Moxie, who I think was a Liverpudlian, and he really hated the Germans. And he really had it in for the Germans, and that was like part of his thing. And then one night they're in their usual bar or whatever, and one of the characters asked him, like, why are you always laying into, and it's the last line of the episode, I think, before the credits roll, and this amazing ending theme song comes up, which is I might have as my funeral song. So someone asks, you know, why are you such a big problem with the Germans? And then the camera just focuses on him, and he says, well, them's the bastards that bombed me granny. And then it's like sort of credits. And I mean, I may be misremembering if that is the end of the episode, but like that was very much like a, you know, because it wasn't really ever spoken of. And like I remember even from it was amazing in Mad Men.
Just bomb their grandpas then.
Yeah, sure. Just, you know, tit for tat. Like in Mad Men, like one of the characters who's I think he was supposed to be much older than your main man.
Don Draper.
Don Draper. I think he was, yeah, but like acting wise, I don't think he was that much older. He had a whole thing about the Japanese and hated working with them and everything because of,
yeah,
this, you know, coming out of, you know, 10, 15 years out of the Second World War. Right. And like this shit runs deep.
Yeah. Wasn't that Roger Sterling that had the?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
You're welcome. He was my favorite character.
Yeah. And I really like the actor.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm always pleased to see him in things.
Mm-hmm,
me too. I went to go and see Weapons last night.
Oh, what's that?
It's the new hotness. It's a horror film.
I was going to say, is it a secret horror film?
Yeah. And so last year, a friend clued me into a film called Barbarians. And he said, you simply must watch Barbarians.
Mm.
And I did, and I thought it was brilliant. It's got Justin Long in it. And it's really good, and it's like brutal in places and just like really over the top and stuff, but also brilliant, really smart and great. And this was this guy's follow-up, and
nice.
It's great, man. It's so good. I mean, I was on a date and that helped.
Tell me more.
Well, you know, these things are developing.
A horror movie date.
Horror movie date.
That worked for Margaret and me. On your recommendation, we watched Bird Box.
Yeah.
And cuddled up close on the couch.
Yeah, man. I was with a discerning viewer. And so she was pleased with the selection of film.
Because,
you know, it wasn't just jump scares for the sake of jump scares. It's good stuff.
Nice.
It was really, really, really good. So if you get it, it's probably finished in like I might have just caught it in the last week now. Uh-huh. I was a bit late. But if you get the chance, if it comes to a streaming platform, check it out. And also check out Barbarians. Very, very, very good.
Cool. Recommendation corner. What good movies have I watched? I don't remember. Passed last night, but Carl and I rewatched for him. It was the first time watching the roulette episode of Game Changer, where they spin the big wheel.
Oh,
and,
sure,
and have those different prompts on their bodies. Holy shit, that's a funny. We were just like, Margaret had already gone to sleep, and she was like, "Did you guys watch something funny last night? Because you were loud as hell." It was pretty fun.
The woman with whom I went on a date has just sent me screenshot of a Guardian article titled "Four Hikers on Magic Mushrooms, One with Debilitating High Rescued in New York," and then she said, "Did you do shrooms on a mountain, or am I making that up?"
Oh, that's awesome. It's all so silly. I think about that just constantly. I just, I can't, I love it so much. Why aren't we all dancing?
Man.
Did I tell you that I'm not supposed to use inside jokes around people who don't know the inside joke?
Oh, okay.
Did we talk about that? Do you feel like, what are your thoughts about this? It sounds familiar. I know I talked to somebody about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we might have talked about this last week.
Okay.
Then we won't. But yeah, it's, you know, I think it depends on the joke sometimes. Like all it takes is just that, you had to be there. Like that's why we have the phrase.
Yeah.
That's why that phrase exists. It's like, mm-hmm. You had to be there.
You had to be there.
And they're cute. They're cute and we should have them. That's mm-hmm. my stance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it... I don't know. I feel... And maybe I'm just saying this from the perspective of somebody who's in on the joke, but I feel like people can kind of get it. Like, usually...
Yeah,
like, something is kind of a non sequitur, and it's like, oh, that must be an inside joke. I wonder what that's about. You know, like, at least that's... In my mind, when I hear that, that's what I think. I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm left out.
Yeah,
or whatever. I don't know what the problem is, but Then I often don't understand what the problem is. Like, I don't understand racism. I don't understand all these. It's just like, what's the
problem? To be clear, like, I often don't understand what the problem is. You know, racism. What's the
Oh, yeah. Not obviously. Not
yeah.
The,
no, no.
Yeah. Not the problem with racism, but what's the problem with these people that are racist? Like, what?
Oh, okay. I've got one for you.
Tell me.
In the continuing, like, here's the new chapter of Mark is surprised that there are horrible people on the internet.
Oh my god, dude.
Oh.
Will it ever end? I don't think so.
Oh god. So there was a what was meant to be humorous little TikTok video, and it tweaked. It pushed one of my buttons. And it was the joke being when people being in British pubs, you will have seen the you walk up to the bar and you've often got the pumps there with the or the taps there with the logos and stuff.
Yeah,
and that's how you can know what's on tap.
Yeah.
And so you
know
the
what's
video.
On the bottom?
Sorry, what was the, what? Oh god, what was that?
How do you know what's on bottom?
How do you know what's on bottom? Okay, title. That makes no sense. Speaking of an inside joke.
No. Oh, no.
How do you know what's on bottom? That might be the dumbest thing I've ever said.
That's how you know what's on tap.
That's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard you say. Oh, I love it so much.
Thank you. Okay, so in a pub, you know what's on
in
tap.
A pub.
What was
right? So it's a kind of a short little meme, kind of a video, and it's a guy walking up, and he's looking at the taps, TAPS, and he says to the barman, "What have you got on tap?"
Yeah,
I can't say that word now. I don't know, what have you got on on bottom.
It's a good joke.
It's not. So not, but I love it and I love you.
I love you too.
And so, sorry, let's get on track here. Let's not get distracted. So the guy asks what's available, and then the barman they play the from Phil Collins in the air tonight. Him and a bunch of other bar staff are beating up the customer. Right, oh, so the joke is, you dumb fuck. They're written on the pumps. You can see the logos. You don't have to ask us. It's annoying that you ask us what's available when you can see it on there.
Sure.
And so I commented.
A little ableist, but yeah.
You get it. You get it. You get it, Brendan.
I do.
Yeah. So I commented, you know, like, something along the lines of, you know, not everybody, I don't know, like, not everybody can see the taps, but well done for making your funny video. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor fuckers who got their nose, like, really bent out, like, really got hurt and bent out of shape about this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I got one or two comments that were basically, and one of them actually was reported and marked as bullying, but one of them was essentially, you have no business being in a bar if you're visually impaired.
The fuck?
Yeah. So it's just, you know, just if we ever get to, like, I mean,
you literally, like, alcohol literally makes you vision impaired. Not in the same way, but it does impair your vision. Like, that's part of it. So you take a drink, you have to leave.
Yeah.
According to this
guy's rules. I have been accused of being overserved before just because I have wobbly eyes. It is a noted thing. But yeah,
you gotta wear those shades.
But then I become like cliche. But yeah, like,
did you say cliche?
The shades thing, yeah. Like blind people wearing sunglasses.
Well, sure. Okay. Pfft. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow raspberries at that. I just mean, like, I thought you meant cliche as in, like, this cool guy at the bar. I was going the complete opposite direction with it. So, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, like, just a friendly reminder You know, we live in this lovely bubble, and yeah, every now and again you venture out and you get stung, and it's like, oh shit! Like it was, and like none of it, you know, none of it hurt me. It was just a reminder of going, oh, people like that do exist that say those things.
Yeah,
they actually do. And it, you know, whether how many believe them, I don't know. Like, how many are just butthurt because their favorite creator got told off in the comments.
Right.
And they felt like they needed to leap to the, because most of like very, yeah. like I think I got one or two, I've got two or three like likes on my comment, but mm-hmm. most of the reactions are that I'm negative. The one who is in the wrong.
Right.
And one of them I actually replied to, and I was like, yeah, lol, that was quite funny. I can't remember what it was. It was something along the lines of you. Oh, I think it was just, you seem fun. And I was like, 10 out of 10. That's, yeah, I that made me laugh. I appreciate that one. But the rest of them are just like, yeah, you shouldn't be in a bar. And then a bunch of people who just didn't get it. Like, I made the point, because the first person who commented, like, didn't understand the point I was making. They were like, they're big and they're lit up. And I'm like, yeah, but if you're visually impaired, you can't see them. And that's when, like, it was like, well, if you're visually impaired, you shouldn't be in a bar. Yeah. And it's that point you sort of, you really have to like go. And like, that's why, like you were saying earlier about things not being sad, but you like fascinating. It's like, what is going on in the brain for these people? Because like, I don't think that that's what they think.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, that is absolutely what they want to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, It's you know, does it come down to, again, like they follow this creator, that's their tribe, I've come in as someone who doesn't get the bit or whatever. It's like, no, I got the bit sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just that, you know, that they're upset that I've come in and taken a poop on their lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, or are there genuinely people, and this is the darker thing, like, and I, you know, I wonder about this and how much does this expose of these people, like, how many people genuinely do feel like, you know, disabled people don't have a place in public society, which is a discourse.
That hurts my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, again, it's like, that doesn't personally hurt me, but the idea of that is hurtful. You know what I mean? The idea of is like deeply upsetting.
Yeah. And then, like, just like, I mean, I know people, I know people generally have an idea of the line of where a person is or is not disabled, with air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's a gradient. Like, that's just an arbitrary line that one person picks. So like, if we were supposed to exclude them, like, then we need to like fucking create a new bureaucracy around where we, you know, shuffle these people off and send them off into an island or whatever. And it's like, it's so much work.
It's so much work, man. So much paperwork. Are you aware of the social model of disability?
No. So enlighten me.
Yeah. So this is the idea that disabled people are not, it is not the things that they are born with that make them disabled.
Okay.
It is society's inability or sometimes lack of will in supporting, they are disabled by, you know, lack of access to things. That is what they are. Which I think is a very good way of looking at things. It's, you know, you what you're looking at is difference and society's inability to cater for difference. And like, not every difference can always be catered for in the same way all the time. But it's about the grace, I think, with which you deal with that.
Right.
And I think it's a really interesting way of looking at disability of like, yeah, you know, we're all born different, but right, society has a bar and different people.
And you have to be able to see the tap.
You have to be able to see what's on tap.
And bottom.
And
tap and bottom. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I have been experimenting with the AirPod hearing aid feature.
Oh, cool.
Which is a bit of a tangent and a new topic.
Mm-hmm.
I've needed to invest in some hearing aids for a long time, and I just have been putting it off. Speaking of disabilities, like I have a big dip in my hearing in both ears, from 2000 hertz to like 10,000 hertz ish area. Mm-hmm. And so it's the upper range of human speech, and you know, transients, hi-hats, you know, the upper range of music, of course. Yeah. And I can get by, but I don't, but I, you know, I have to ask people to repeat themselves, or I miss things entirely, or this and that. And it's just been like, okay. But like I've been pushing it off so much because I feel like I don't want to be defeated by this. Like, I don't want to be like, there's some sort of feeling of like, I'm not good enough on my own if I need to have hearing aids.
Oh, and sure. Then, okay.
And then, and my mom got hearing aids a couple years ago, and she's like, oh yeah, they're really interesting or whatever. And she's not using them at the moment at her nursing facility. And or at least she commented that she hadn't been using them. I was like, oh, could I borrow them? I'm just kind of curious what they feel. I mean, they're kind of expensive, and you know, healthcare and insurance and stuff here, it sucks. So I was like, it's hard to want to make the investment without even knowing what it's like at all. And so she's like, yeah, you know, they're made for my ears, but like, you can try them out. And I hadn't really thought about that at all. I was just like, I'm just kind of curious what they were like to put on. And so I put them on, and like, it was not at all tuned to my ears. and it was like screechy, and you know, it was different, obviously differently EQ'd for her hearing.
Calibrated, yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I knew that, but I wasn't really thinking about it. And then I realized, like, because of that experience, I realized like, oh, trying on somebody's hearing aids is like trying on somebody else's prescription glasses. Like, they're tuned to that specific person's needs. And so if that's true, then like, they're just glasses for your ears. So it's like, hey. I'm not a, like, yeah, it's kind of, it was a whoa moment for me. I was like, oh, it's not. And then I kind of consciously knew, but I also, it was a bit uncovering of like, oh, I've really been holding myself back with this thought pattern of being lesser than because I need help with my hearing. And then at the same time, around the same time, I walked by an ad for the Apple AirPods Pro 2 hearing aid feature. And I was like, oh yeah, we have, Margaret has two sets of AirPods because I got her one and then she lost it. And then I got her new one and then she found the first one. And so she's been going back and forth between the two, which has been great because she can just always have a charged one. And I asked her if I could borrow one set, and have been using that with the hearing aid feature. And it is cool because I, you know, I took a new hearing test with the AirPods and got to see where I'm at. And my hearing has actually improved since the mold is gone. And so it was cool to see that data.
That's great.
But it's still, you know, still big dip. And it's really interesting. It's very Apple, where sometimes it works so perfectly, and then sometimes it just feels so finicky and so like, why are you doing that? Like, what triggered this change in sound?
Okay.
Because it's trying to be adaptive to the environment, and trying it like, you know, depending on your settings, of course, it like automatically boosts conversation or cancels noise or this or that. And then, but sometimes it just kind of like, oh no, we're going to allow in that, that sound now. But it was like, why?
That jackhammer.
Yeah. This noise is coming in because we think that you want to hear that now. I'm like, no, I want to hear the person. Like, some, yeah. So in that regard, it's leaving a lot to be desired. But
yeah, that might be tricky because I wonder if some of that is about noise that might be you might need to know about environmentally if you're walking, for example, and you need to know that, you know, whether it's traffic or something, that there is something nearby that you need to be able to hear. I don't know.
Maybe
think
that's a
deliberate choice, but I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't quite feel like that. It just feels like it's like...
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad heuristics.
Sometimes it just, it seems to work really super well, but I don't know. But yeah, I looked up, because of that, I've now looked up some hearing aid options, and there's some decent options out there that are not outrageously expensive, so I might be working on that soon. Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay. Or Brendan becoming
some ear glasses. Yeah. Glasses, and I already have implant supported dentures. I don't have any teeth anymore anyway, so you know. I'm already a cyborg.
Yeah, man.
Why not just continue?
Just go.
Would you get like back in the day, we used to listen to We Have Concerns, and they would often talk about like if they could cyborg, they would like get like fucking glowing wings or, you know, whatever cool thing. Would you ever do a biohack in terms of the guys that want to live forever, but like a biohack as in actually hacking something into your body. Would you ever do that?
I've always loved the idea of being able to be, of having a plug, having a socket in my head or something.
Like a Matrix, like?
Yeah. And load up a mini disc, because that's what they were. And then suddenly you know Kung Fu. Or something like that. You know, that could be a way that telepathy could happen, or you could instantly just know a thing.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Yeah,
I mean, sure, you know, if someone can find a way to nano implant new optic nerves in my brain, or in my skull, I guess, not in my brain. They can't be in my brain. They connect to the brain. Great. Give that a go.
For sure.
Because, like, nothing external is ever going to make a difference. Because it's the cabling that's the problem. So if I could get new cabling,
Replace those HDMIs.
It would be just like, oh my god, I've been seeing in 640 by 480 for all this time.
Speaking of vintage methods of listening to music,
sure,
Margaret and I just got a record player.
Nice.
Yeah, we went
with
Cameron to and Carl to Music Millennium, the greatest local record store, and for his birthday, and we had been kind of thinking about records for a little bit, super vaguely, but when we got there and it's just like that came up. And they had a whole wall of record players, and we got a Crosley with a white table, and they had white and walnut, and I was like, oh, I really want the walnut, but they only had the white in stock, and I'm actually really glad they only had the white, because it looks really sharp. And then
suitcase ones?
No. Okay. It's a proper sits and stays at home. I used to have a Ion traveling record player. And it had a little speaker built into it. Like it could just be its own little unit. And it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. I got rid of that for some dumb reason. But yeah, we picked up this actually nice looking one, and then we brought it home. It exactly perfectly fit in this spot of the office where the bench meets the bookcases.
Mm.
And it, like, the lid can lift up and it just goes right into the bookcase area. And, like, it's just perfect. It's like I made it for it. It was amazing. And, we picked up some records. So Margaret was, like, looking through the sale area of the record store and found Soul Coughing Live 2024. And she like literally gasped out loud. She's like, oh my gosh, Ben is going to love this. And then she found the soundtrack to Avalon, the movie Avalon, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's one of her favorite movies. It's got Elijah Wood's first, like, major role.
Oh, wow.
And it's about this immigrant story in America and how the television was kind of the downfall of families. And it's just a beautiful movie. Great soundtrack. And it was like, it couldn't have been more kismet. It was just like perfectly, record for Brendan, a record for Margaret.
Oh.
Like, amazing. And then I found one Hozier that I thought she would like, and I was just like, oh, hey, look at this. And she's like, yep, great, out of the list. And then she found a Regina Spektor one, and yeah, so we picked up a few to start with and brought it home, and it was great. Carl, Margaret, and I all listened to some records together and had a really nice time. It was fun. It's fun to have that, like, need to get up and change and flip. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
more active.
It's more active. And
makes it more of a participation.
Right, right. And it's like just a prompt to get up off your seat and to change things and not have it be the exact same. And some albums are just a really good aphrodisiac, you know? It's just, it really helps things go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was it the C100 BT that you got?
It is a BT. Mm-hmm. I think it was like
that
a
one
C6.
Comes in cream, and I don't think the other finish is walnut from what I can see here though.
I think
they look lovely.
Yeah, it was really great. I'm gonna see. I think it was a C6, but I don't know if it'll show me images here.
My cousin,
C6.
C6. My cousin who buys and sells vintage records.
Oh, neat.
So he has his own, like, pop-up thing. He recommended me an Audio Technica.
I was looking at those, sure.
And it's really great, but it's my first manual.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather have an automatic, if I'm honest.
So tell me the difference.
So with a manual, and I really don't know why they exist. I honestly don't, unless you are some kind of awful hipster, I don't see the appeal. I don't know why they don't all make them automatic. A manual, as you might imagine, when the record finishes, the record player is like, I don't know, I'm just gonna keep going.
Sure.
It doesn't do the thing where it lifts up and then returns the needle back to its spot and stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we have a manual.
Oh, it's okay.
The record stops, but it doesn't move the arm back.
Yeah. Surely the record stops. I'm not actually entirely sure with mine, but yeah, it's that's meh. Did you have to do?
That's fine. To me.
The whole, like, calibration thing, like calibrating the weight of the needle. Yeah.
That was an interesting experience. Yeah. I hadn't had to do that for the, I guess automatics don't need that because.
No, I don't know if that's the case. I think they still need calibration. Yeah.
I don't think I had to do that for my Ion, so I'm not really sure what was going on there.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the case.
Maybe it was just that specific one. I only have experience with two. So.
Yeah, and I think it is it's a sort of a mark of quality that you're getting. Like, if you're gonna, I mean, I don't know how what the quality of Ion is, so I don't know. I think part of it is, like, when you don't know, you might just get it out of the box and that's it. And what I've sometimes noticed with cheaper record players, and like I said, I don't know Ion, so I don't know if that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've bought record players in the past, it's like some turntables are a little bit fast, some are a little bit slow, Some they get more skipping, or the sound is you know, like, because when I set my Audio Technica up, I miscalibrated it so much that basically the needle just went like face planted into the vinyl, and so you could hear this, just like all of the songs sounded angry, and so you know you really have to set it up, and like, you know, again, if you do that, if it's not right, then you get too much skipping, and it's like you've really got to get it just right, and it is man, that is an exercise. And I had a flashback to memories of many years ago where our family, and I think it was probably just households up and down the country in the UK, did this. You would tape a pound coin to the needle, to the top of the needle, the housing, so that you could, that's how you weighted it. Because they didn't necessarily have the counterpoint. And so, you know, you used a pound coin to weight it down.
Nice. That's a good hack.
Happy memories. But I bought my mum for her 60th, like a similar model to mine, but the automatic version.
Nice.
And it is, it's so much nicer. It's just like, yeah, this is great. Especially where, like, this one, it finds the, like, if you tell it 45 or 33?
Yeah, 33 and 33.
If you tell it which one you're putting down,
yeah,
it will place the needle directly at the beginning without you having to, like... Oh, shit, no. Well,
that,
okay,
was good,
that was a good... That was a good impression of needle on rubber.
It was, yeah. I love it.
Title.
I can visualize how being visually impaired, would be definitely a behoove you.
Sometimes
to have
it's a little bit like fumbling to get a key in a lock. It's just like,
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I got it now.
Yeah,
but it's all part of the process, man.
It is. It is.
And it's like, I know, like, I you know, as you know, I've described myself as a cloth cap in human form. I love that, like, what the Norwegians I think call hygge, the coziness of just like sitting back, maybe it's a Sunday late morning, and you're up, and you know, maybe you've had a little bit of breakfast, or you're sitting there with your coffee, and you put a record on, and you sit there and read or whatever, and it's just like, oh.
So good, dude.
That's the shit.
That's life.
That's, yeah, man. That's the stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, with a few other people around, and yes. So I went on. So Margaret made the joke, or not a joke at all. She was just she looked over at me and sincerely said, "Okay, this is great. We can only buy records from Music Millennium."
Oh,
and okay. I was like, I love the sentiment, but nope. Because I'm gonna need to buy records from the Njuna Music store online.
Oh, sure.
And she was like, okay, yeah, of course. I get that.
Thrift stores.
And that was my
That's where you gotta go diving. Actually,
the next thing I was like, well, what about garage sales?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, no, that's great. Course. And how about Goodwill or thrift stores? Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, that's fine. I just mean not like a big online retailer.
Okay.
And I'm like, yes, absolutely. 100% cosign.
We are married. Like, yes. This should be taken for
I did go on to the Njuna Music store, and it was just like how it was crazy kismet how everything worked out in the record store, of finding a table that we love, finding a couple records that would completely speak to us as people, as what we love. I went on the store, and they had almost every album I wanted to get, like as a back catalog kind of thing. Of what they had, my favorite Cubicolor album. They had three Andrew Bayer albums. Andrew Bayer is like my favorite artist. They had Flow State by Above and Beyond, which is the album I've listened to the most out of anything ever. And it was, and also I got to pre-order the Casablanca album, which I'm super excited about. I've heard the first half. It's what I want to make as a Dapper Wizard, and it's just so primo. It's just so good, and I'm so excited to hear the second half. And because I bought the vinyl, I got to have my name in the liner notes. So they're gonna, submit your name, and they print the thing, and as somebody who's like contributed to that, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool, and it was just all. And they had they were having a summer sale at the time, so it was like 10% off a bunch of stuff, or I think two or three of the albums were $10 off, and it was all just like, I can't believe this is available and I'm able to buy this, and it's on sale, and what crazy timing! Like, thank you God! Like, this is perfect! Like, it's all good! It's all great!
Oh, so that was. I love that. I've still got Mission to Zix vinyl that I haven't yet sat down and played with.
Nermit Bundeloy. Oh, wait.
And Bermit Nundeloy, yes.
Yeah, but this one.
So I've got the Bermit Nundeloy album, which I think will be, I don't know if I will ever listen to that, but I get it. Like, it's nice that it exists.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't.
But yeah, I know. The soundtrack, I think, will be great. And I'm so pleased that like I managed to chase that down, and they were so, the Topatico guys or whatever they're called, they were so nice and sorted me out. And it came with all the stickers and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And even the little insert thing in the middle that you have for records that don't have a hole. Yeah. Oh, that have too big a hole. I just sat here looking at vinyl. I wanted to, I was looking at, The Tallest Man on Earth. There's an album called The Wild Hunt, which I really enjoy, which has a very cassette-like sound. But I think I'd quite like to hear that on vinyl. He's just a really good singer-songwriter, and I think I would enjoy that on vinyl. That's £22. But one of my favourites that I have is Muse. Origin of Symmetry, their 20th anniversary record, and that's real good because that's got some extra stuff, and they remastered it for vinyl, and they made some tweaks and changes and stuff. And there's one of them. I'm actually, as much as I enjoy Muse, like I have vast gaps in my knowledge, and sometimes I can't remember the names of songs. But there's a song that's Something Cuts, that's actually one of my favorites on the album, and his vocals and how everything just soars and is wonderful, and because it's been remastered and remixed for vinyl, it's just like, yeah, it's got this lovely, well, not lovely because Muse aren't lovely, but it's just aching and it pulls at you. It's great.
Love that.
And love when that. I was at the Mosley Folk Festival 2 years ago, I picked up signed vinyl from a band that I saw there that I thought were nice. I think they were Canadians. I went to the merch tent and picked up a signed LP, which was nice.
Awesome. Yeah, that's going to be another area where we're definitely going to be able to buy vinyls directly from the artists.
Yes.
That's a good one. We did that way before we got the record player. Maybe 2-3 years ago, we bought vinyl from Mama's Brook when we saw them live, and just been holding on to it, you know, just as like a little piece of art and contribution to the artist, of course. And but that was the first thing I played on the player to make sure it was all hooked up and working and stuff. And good stuff. I like right now, if you buy a vinyl, they'll either have like a little slip inside of it, or it comes with your online order, but you get the digital copy as well.
Yeah.
And that's really sweet. That's like, you know, that's best of both worlds. You're getting a cool physical item that looks beautiful, and you're getting something that's flexible and can follow you wherever you go. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that.
I think I at some point I may move out of or off of the, because like I'm pretty free and clear of a lot of the streaming services now. Mm-hmm. The only two I pay for are, and I'm not really certain why I'm still paying for Apple TV. In my head, it's still cheap, but I think it's probably not anymore. I think in my head, it's still like a fiver a month, and I think it's probably not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
It's 10.
Yeah. And Dropout. I'm not quitting Dropout. Although
no,
you fucked my playlists and everything now. Man. Like I don't know where I am.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know where I am anymore.
I'm so sorry. It's not your fault. It's the bad app. No, it's a great app. It's fine. At least
it's the content, but it's not a good app.
Yeah, I mean, it's only because they don't have profiles.
Stock app with, like, they would have. I think they just bought a. There's a lot of those like run your own streaming services in a box thing. I don't think it's custom. I'd be surprised if it was custom made.
Dropout is a Netflix.
Dropout is, as you say, Netflix. I enjoyed that. I woke up and watched that this morning.
I intended to only watch ones that you'd seen, and then I got so addicted to it. I was just like, oh my god. And then it snowballed, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, Mark. I appreciate you so much. And
that's what friendship does to you, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you do with your friends. No, it's fine.
I would never get rid of Dropout either, I think.
No, would you not?
I wouldn't. I would never get rid of your Dropout.
It's one of those things where, and like, because I've been immersed in like marketing bullshit for the last 5 years because I've been trying to fucking survive and thinking that I can marketing my way out of it. One of the things that people talk about is like when you buy stuff based on values.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I subscribe. There's something about that with Apple TV as well that like, I appreciate what they do to such a degree that I want to pay for it to continue.
Yeah.
But I really feel that about Dropout.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just about the content, it's about the people, it's about the ethos and the amazing way that company is
the
run.
Profit sharing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like
the voices they bring out. That? Yeah. And like, at least in this current season, the Game Changer and stuff, like you can see where your money is going.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, Sam Alima Ding Dong. What an epic. You watch that now, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Too fucking good. I love how they made a secret budget.
Yeah.
To hide it from Sam. Incredible. What was I going to say? Oh, so you were talking about subscriptions. Like you're subscribed. We were talking about music. You're so subscribed to Apple Music. Do you feel like that's something that you want to keep going? Like, is a music subscription service something that's on the chopping block?
Yeah, for you? Because it used to be important to me, and then at some point, I think I just stopped caring, and now I care again. At least enough.
Sure, sure.
At least a bit. It used to be important for me to have, quote unquote, my music.
Yeah.
And like, I remember back in the day, like I would use Spotify, but then if I really liked an album, I'd still buy the album. Like I wouldn't think of not. The last time I remember doing that was 2015, Stephen Page's Page One album. Mm. I remember, you know, I was a Spotify user then, and I bought the album because I'm like, well, that's what you do. Like if you like the album, you want to own it in some capacity. Even digitally is fine, but like owning it. And every now and again, like, I mean, Spotify's a tricky one. Like, it shouldn't be up to whether someone is in a good mood or not, whether they've had a bad day. That shouldn't dictate whether I can play my favorite album or not. Because someone can have a bad day and walk into a meeting and say, we're pulling all our shit from this particular service because we don't know what they did, or we're at war with them, or our record label is at war with them, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't mean that I then just don't have access to the music that I had before.
That is literally what happened in the reverse when I pulled a Dapper Wizard from Spotify.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And that's the problem with streaming services.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
If they bought it from me, then they could just have it forever.
Yeah, if the listener wants to buy the stuff, which is available through CD Baby and probably the Apple Music Store and other places, I would have thought.
Yeah.
It's just like wherever you get buy digital music, isn't it?
On the iTunes Store. You could probably buy it on Amazon. I know it's on Amazon Streaming, but I don't know if it's on the Amazon Store, which that doesn't actually make me very happy. But or you could just email me, you know.
There you go. Bandcamp is always an option.
I don't think it's on there though. But yeah. you can get the Unplaced soundtrack on Bandcamp.
Oh,
and
yes.
God, I just listened to that yesterday actually. It's so good. I'm really
tell
proud
us about
of it.
Tell us about that.
Oh, so Unplaced was a podcast audio drama, 8 episodes about this person who they wake up one day and they're just invisible and they can't interact with the world and they don't understand it and they're trying to figure it out. And it's a kind of a, not horror, but thriller. This is a creepy kind of dark, twisted tale a little bit. And so I was commissioned to edit the podcast and score the podcast. And so I made this soundtrack for it. And they gave me some artists that they kind of liked and wanted to sound like. I think it was like Rat-a-Tat and Fortet and a few others. And I had made music before, but this was a big commission for me. This was a big like project that I hadn't never really done much of before. And what an awesome experience. Like, I was a great collaborator and a wonderful opportunity. And I had so much fun with it, creating these, the soundscapes. And while I was making it, like, they're kind of like down tempo, dark, dancey kind of tracks. Apart from the audio drama, like, if you strip out the sound effects and the person talking, the music alone was just really great. I was really happy with it, so I put it up on Bandcamp and got some people downloading it, which was really cool. When I was making it, not only was I making it for the podcast, but I also I had a friend in mind at the time who I kind of thought like, oh, I think my friend would really like to like write to this. Like, I think that they would really like enjoy this as background music while they're doing stuff. And then I just put it up on the internet and he bought it and it was like, I really like this for writing. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, it's, I've had a fun project in mind of taking those songs and remixing them in my kind of more current style of what I actually like in terms of dance music, because at the time I wasn't into dance music and I was just trying to make something. I'd like, she would give me I can't remember if each of the 8 episodes she gave me a couple reference tracks, or I think she maybe just early on she supplied me with a few tracks and then I tried to use them all throughout, something like that. But I would just listen to that track and I would try my best to make that same sound for the drum and for the synth and for the bass and then this and that and these different parts and pieces. And I, you know, I'm not skilled enough to be able to make it sound exactly, which is great because then it's my own sound.
Yes.
So it actually works out really perfect. And yeah, it was just so fun to put together. And some of the melodies and some of the harmonies and just little sections here and there, I just like, wow, I fucking did that. This is so good. Tracks 3 and 4, they're just so good. They're both like 8 minutes long and like it's a soundtrack and like it's such a It's such a small audience of people who would appreciate this. But for me, man, I'm so proud of it. It's really good. Unplaced soundtrack. It's on Bandcamp. Go find it. Listen.
Yes.
And as always, mankind lives under hypnosis that he fails to recognize.
Wake up!
And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.
Was that too loud? I tried to step away.
No, it was lovely.
Okay, perfect.